You are listening to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email, presented by Berkshire Community College.
Welcome to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email. I promised Jonah last time that this would be the last time that I mentioned this, but this is our 10th episode. So I think if once we cross this 10th episode...
Yeah, we're not saying it
anymore. We're not saying it anymore. We just do this.
We're
going to
say, 1,600, 400.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
That's too many numbers.
This is going to be an interesting one because for the first time we have three guests. We've had three guests before. It's the first time we've had three guests, but only three total microphones for the four of us.
We're
going to do our best to get everyone to speak into the microphone.
People are sitting close. Yeah.
It's rainy.
Yeah.
But we need it,
and it's great for the fall. It looks great out there with the mist on the hills rolling down in the morning. It looks amazing.
And you had mentioned on the last episode that that the colors were going to be muted, which I think has been true. But this rain seems to have brightened things up. So today's episode is going to be focused on our upcoming STEM week. All three of our guests are faculty members within the STEM and Business Division.
It's Science and Business.
Science and Business Division. And all three were recommended by our newest dean, Matthew Kenny. So I'm very, very pleased to welcome all three of you to our podcast. First is Lyndon Crane, who's Associate Professor of Biology. Then Amanda Meyer, Associate Professor of Chemistry. And T-Fun, who's an Associate Professor of Math. So I think we have three people. I'd love to just have you introduce yourselves. Tell us a little bit about how long you've been at the college. And I actually don't really know what STEM Week is, so... maybe you could tell us what STEM Week is, too. Lyndon, would you mind starting?
Sure. So I am a professor of anatomy and physiology. I have been at BCC for 4 years now. And pretty much anything that has to do with the human body, that's my jam. In terms of STEM Week, I would say that STEM is science, technology, engineering, and math. And we're going to do some fun stuff.
Thanks, Lyndon. And Amanda.
Hi, I'm Amanda Meyer. I teach chemistry here at BCC. I've been here for unofficially since 2017 as an adjunct and then full-time in fall of 2020. So STEM Week to me is when we get to showcase different things that our disciplines can do. This is not just a BCC thing or a Massachusetts thing. STEM Week can extend globally, but in Massachusetts, you can actually see certain things on the state website regarding STEM weeks across, STEM week across the state, different activities that are going to happen. But on campus, we got some cool chem demos that we're going to be presenting. So hopefully you can visit us during that time.
Thanks, Amanda. And T-Fun.
Hi, my name is T-Fun Hong. I'm from the math department. And I've been about a little more than a year with BCC. So I don't know much about the STEM week, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting, I believe.
So, STEM Week is...
That's my curveball. When is STEM Week?
That is the third week of October this year.
Okay. So October 20th to the 24th, 2025, through the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. All right, cool. We have a commercial about that later in the show. Awesome. So that was a curveball. I knew the answer. I'm sorry. But I wanted to see if I could throw y'all, which I didn't. So Amanda, kudos. Good job.
Only because I talked to Colin earlier in the week about when I'm going to do chem demos.
So I want to hear more about STEM Week, but when Lyndon introduced themselves, you talked about how you teach A&P, you talked about how you're very interested in the body. But one thing that I know about you that is a great talking point is that you love the pancreas, and I think our listeners are going to be very interested in this.
I mean, it's my favorite organ. I do rate them. So the kidneys are my second favorite organ. But I mean, the pancreas is where it's at. It produces hormones, four of them, and it produces a whole bunch of enzymes. You know, like what more could you want from a teeny tiny little organ? You need it to survive. And yet we don't give it any credit.
We don't. And it doesn't get the same. Like, I don't even know if it has a ribbon. Like pancreas awareness.
Oh. And also, like, pancreatic cancer is super deadly.
It is.
Just saying.
So what does the pancreas do?
It is both an endocrine and an exocrine organ.
So if you had a fifth grade reading level, what does the pancreas do? Which I do have a fifth grade reading level, by the way.
The pancreas is necessary for digestion. So it helps us break our food down so that we can actually use the materials in it. for our cells to do all the cell things. And it also produces hormones, which help our body to sort of regulate and stay within the normal range of everything that it needs to. Probably the most famous hormone that it produces is insulin, and its partner in crime, glucagon, which helps to keep your blood glucose levels in range.
And it doesn't, it had a thing against Patrick Swayze, as we all know, RIP, right? Pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
It's not a fan of Dirty Dancing. Okay, cool. All right. So your favorite organ is the pancreas. Good. All right. Didn't I see that one coming at him?
Thank you. Well, this is the advantage of, you know, hanging out with people outside of work every once in a while and learning about how they rank organs. And I actually am going to suggest to all of our listeners, sit down with a pen and paper and rank your top 10 favorite organs.
I don't think I want to see those results. So, yeah.
So, Amanda, it what's your favorite kind of esoteric thing about chemistry? And if you could build in a ranking, we'd love it.
You know, to rank certain things is just would go against my nature. I like most things evenly because of the excitement they create.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. No, but I do favor fire and heat. So those exothermic reactions, whether they're in the body or not, are pretty cool. And so... things that can explode have always brightened my day from as a youngster. I was a little bit into fire. So that kind of marched me off into wondering what happens, why does it happen? But other chemical processes, like obviously there's biological ones, but the ones that occur in nature that you don't see, but they happen just regularly, automatically. Fall is great. We have changes in our chlorophyll. We have the green to reds, oranges, and yellows. So things that you don't think of as a chemical process are.
That was a note for Adam, Amanda. You were doing great. Don't worry. This is just some behind the scenes.
Yeah, people. I think that if Jonah sometimes like makes hand signals and we often
forget to tell the guests,
what
they mean. Yeah.
And then they get nervous.
They're like, oh, stop talking.
That was our bad.
Amanda, that's on me.
Tifa, before we go to break, I'd be interested. What got you jazzed up about going on for a PhD in math and teaching math to? I would imagine one of the scarier topics for our students.
One thing about math is that turn out math is not horrible, not that scary, in fact, because like turn out everything's in life or where you come across, they're all about math. Say in particular, it's just this room all about the dimensions, like how large this room would be, or like what is the volumes, how many people we can fit in this room. That's, you can also kind of think it in from a math perspective. So I would say math would set up a foundations, how you think about everything. So. Oh, just get back to questions. Why make me go into my PhD? It's like, it's probably go back to when I was a kid. I feel like math is kind of interesting, which at some point I feel like I'm good at it. But when it comes to high school or even college, I realize I might not be that good at mathematics, but I am good about thinking why it happens. So I keep asking why it happens, why doing that way, and I try to explore more. And hopefully it helped me understand the world a little bit better. That's why.
Oh, that's really great. I think that's a nice place to go to our first break. And when we come back, we'll get in a little deeper with our guests.
You are listening to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email from Berkshire Community College. Did you hear the news? From October 20th until November 21st, BCC will be participating in its second Campus Climate Survey through the Higher Education Data Sharing Consortium, or HEDS. We first administered the HEDS Campus Climate Survey in spring 2023 to develop baseline data and inform the strategic impact plan. If you have questions about the survey, please reach out to Tony Buckley, Director of Mission, Values, and Community Impact. Please encourage others on campus, students, and employees alike to respond to the survey and make their voices heard.
All right, welcome back. This has been a really fun conversation already with our three science faculty members. I think it would be great for our listeners to know a little bit about each one of you and what your background is and what brought you into teaching specifically. So I don't know, Amanda, do you want to go first?
Yes. Well, my background is a transplant from the Midwest. I came from Minnesota.
And I just said, well, pause, and our frequent listeners to this podcast know that we have, of our 12 or 13 listeners, two or three of them reside in the great state of Minnesota, so nice to have a fellow Minnesotan on the pod.
Yeah, so I did my undergraduate studies in Minnesota. I went to Winona State University, and I also worked at 3M, the chemical plant in Cottage Grove, and then Coca-Cola in Eagan. And so through some of those experiences, I was like, you know what, maybe I do want to do chemistry as a career. And then I moved out to Massachusetts. And so getting into teaching, as I was in graduate school, I couldn't understand why there was a fear of taking like chemistry as an undergraduate. I struggled, but I also struggled because like I wasn't the greatest student immediately into college. But I got the hang of it, and I wanted to also dispel some misconceptions. So I thought, you know, better to start at the high school level and then see if I can work my way into their lives as far as science goes. And that was fairly successful. I had enough of it.
I know you don't love rankings, but I would guess, I don't know, I have no scientific experiment here, but I would guess that math is the second scariest topic for students and chemistry is third. I do know that there was a list that was done years ago where people were asked what their greatest fear was, and death was number two and public speaking was number one. So I think that public speaking might be the thing that freaks our students out the most. But I would guess that math and chemistry come up right behind those.
Yeah, especially if there's no option and you have to take chemistry, it's very very much afraid feelings. But when I got to BCC, I wanted to make the change because there's a few things that you can do at the college level and really hone in on students who think they know what they want to do and actually help make them flourish in that field. A lot of students don't come to BCC to do chemistry, but they can come to BCC, do chemistry, and actually enjoy themselves, even if they don't take another chemistry course. And that makes me fulfilled.
Yeah, what's the beauty of it? Like, why should someone who hasn't taken chemistry or walk, if we're doing it in an advising session with a student and our biology classes fell at like 93% and we're trying to get a student into a gen ed course and we're like, we've got this great opportunity in chemistry, how do we kind of seal that deal?
Oh, there's an elegance. Just like in math, there's elegance to everything that we experience. If you're interested in the how or the why, chemistry can help fulfill some of that. It's a vocabulary reading type course. It's a math course. It's a puzzle course, the critical thinking. You want to entrap everything you want to use as far as brain power. It's there. Elegance in learning. Chemistry can do that for you because it ties in so many things. And of course, feeling that you're in good company with peers, perhaps not necessarily enjoying it, but realizing at the end of it, like, holy cow, this actually makes sense as I move on into my biology course or physics course.
I love that. I love the way that you kind of framed chemistry having an elegance, and you made a nice segue to mathematics and the elegance in mathematics. So Tifon, you want to talk about same thing? I mean, I know our students come in with a lot of math and anxiety, as you all know. About 55% of our students are 25 and older, maybe haven't taken a math class for a while. They're afraid to get back in it. Again, if we're talking to a student and trying to get them pumped up about taking math, help me out.
I would try. But one thing about math is that maybe we can try to, this is something I usually try to tell my student, but like not within a class, but like just in a casual talking, is that try to separate like learning and assignment. Because like turn out, I mean, I really enjoy learning no matter what subject is it. In particular, math is really beautiful because like it tells you how you can visualize stuff and then changing your perspective. As mentioned before, that a set of a foundations or like a kind of platform for you to like realize how stuff works with different perspective, how you can look at the same thing. Say, for instance, for set theory, it might sound really abstract, but it try to group things up all together so that you can see, okay, other than this collections, you might have other collections. But when you think about it, you might think of like either A or B. But turn out there might be other than A and B. It might be a broad class of things, which you might not think about it, but like from set perspective, you can see there is a situations about that. And then assignment that kind of complicated, so you try to separate them so you feel enjoyable through learning, and then step by step eventually you feel confident you're able to do that. And turn out, and other things I would suggest is that, like, you might think of math as a language. It might make yourself easier because, like, turn out the whole math structure is that you have all language, you have all vocabulary, you have the grammar, you have all those kind of things to describe how situations work, like all those models that you might come across. Like, why you can have such an estimation is all about the model that built behind. That is also another language that you can build in. And from this perspective, just get more practice, just like how you learn a new language. Practice, and then you get through it, and you realize, okay, I learned a new language, and I can speak math now.
That
reminds me of a famous quote from, I think it's Katie Heron in Mean Girls, who says her favorite subject is math because it's the same in every language. So there's my Mean Girls reference for this episode.
That was
Thank
beautiful,
you.
Jonah. Well done. I actually liked math when I was growing up and enjoyed taking math classes quite a bit. And I think for me, one of the things is, as I've advised students over the years who have math anxiety, I think that you don't really understand the world particularly well until you start to look at it both from a quantitative lens and what you qualitatively think is going on, and it helps to rationalize a place that can be very irrational. But Tifan, we kind of skipped your background. You tell us a little bit about who you are and what got you here.
Sure. I am from Hong Kong, and I get my undergrad and master in HKUST, Hong Kong University of Science and Technologies, and then I moved to Buffalo to pursue my PhD program, and then I moved to Colorado for another teaching positions, and then I moved to BCC right here. And I feel like this is interesting to teach in BCC here because, like, yeah, all our students that I come across, they are all active and enjoy the learning and really engage in the class, which helped me a lot to understand what they need and how can I help them much better to learn about math and how can I overcome such an anxiety, and then eventually they enjoy math at some point.
That's great. I think our students are very lucky to have both of you teaching subjects that I know that they're very, very nervous about. Lyndon, it feels to me like biology has become like one of the most popular majors, I think, across the country. And just looking kind of at our own enrollment data, the courses fill at a very high rate. As you know, we have a very high number of nursing students or pre-nursing students who I think end up in your classes. But I think you are one of the people that I know who loves their subject so much and makes it kind of come to life as you have conversations about it. And I'd love to hear you talk about your own journey to get here and then maybe jump into why biology is so great.
Sure. Definitely sort of fell in love with science, in particular, like when I was in grade school, because it was the part of school that you got to, like, you know, do stuff, make things blow up or what have you.
Hands on, yeah.
Yeah. And then I decided that I wanted to go into education, much to my family's chagrin. I did not go into, you know, the medical field and become a doctor, but I went to Boston University for my undergrad. I double majored in bio and science education. Went into K-12 education, so I taught out on Nantucket for a little bit, and then moved back to Western Mass. And also got my master's in education, and I quite like teaching. I like talking about science in general. I like talking about pretty much anything, especially because I feel like it all comes back to the science and the math of it, actually. Like, the interesting thing about the physical sciences and math, like, we always say math is the language of science, right? So it is a language, and we need it in order to explain all of the phenomena that we see. And I would say on top of that, like, chemistry and physics are so critical to being able to understand biology. I think biology sometimes gets like not a bad rep, but a incorrect understanding that it's like all memorization. Mm-hmm. But there's actually quite a lot of pattern to biology and life sciences. And a lot of that comes from the physics and the chemistry that's sort of behind it all. But biology is, I think I like biology the most because it explains how everything in the body works, and also gives you a way to fix things if and when things go wrong. So I think sometimes people end up in biology classes because maybe they have to for the direction that they have chosen. But I think it's a really cool opportunity, and I like to explore in class, like, why do those things happen? Especially, like, you know, you see on all kinds of shows and et cetera, like, oh man, this person had a pneumothorax on Grey's Anatomy and they just like shoved a huge needle in them. What? But yeah, you can sort of understand, like, oh, there's actually, you know, pressures that have been upset, and this is how we would treat that and all of that. So
that's great. Well, I think it's time for another break, and we'll be right back.
Are you privy to how near we are till spring 2026 registration opens for current students? Spring 2026 registration opens on Monday, November 3rd. What we used to call priority registration is a date by which we encourage all of our current students to register for spring classes. Prior to this registration opening date, faculty and academic advisors should be scheduling time to meet with their students and ensure they are ready to build their schedule for academic success. So spread the word and meet with your student advisees soon as spring registration opens on November 3rd.
All right, welcome back. So we are going to move into our next segment. And, you know, during our break, Jonah was just talking about the design of the NAPS program. And I'm going to – that doesn't mean that we sleep. Sorry, that was a really bad joke. But if you all could kind of talk to us about what the NAPS program is and who might be attracted to it and what kind of future opportunities there could be for a student that chooses that program.
And the NAPS program is the Natural and Physical Sciences, for folks who don't know what NAPS means besides bedtime. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
So NAPS was kind of developed with the mind that a student coming to BCC needs to have a foundation. If they want to do a four-year degree, they can have coursework in the NAPS Associates for a basis in biology, a basis in physics, a basis in chemistry, and build that foundation to succeed in a four-year major in any of those disciplines. Additionally, you know, if you choose a chemistry pathway, for example, you're taking 2 years of chemistry, and if you decide to take some biology in there, you can prepare yourself to go to Western New England for right into their pharmaceutical program for your PharmD directly from BCC. So the opportunities that NAPS provides can go off to not only a four-year institution, but a graduate institution directly. And that's just, you know, one of the perks, I suppose, but also the foundation. You want the foundation that you pay for, and being able to have your contact with your instructors as easy as possible for your own success. This is a great place to start. We are here for you, and we're invested in you as much as you're invested in yourself.
You know, it's an interesting thing. So when I was in high school, we took like a biology class, like a natural science biology class. And then I think we took another biology class, and then you took chemistry, and then you would take physics. My kids are in high school, and they took physics in ninth grade, chemistry as sophomores, biology as juniors, and then whatever their elective sciences as seniors. I guess I'm curious about that. Like, what changed in the way that we did the curriculum? And do you have thoughts about kind of the sequencing of taking science courses? I threw you for a loop there. This is like a personal curiosity.
There is a very personal answer as well.
Yeah.
Motivated by state testing, I would say, partly.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because of how math phobic some students can be, or how language barriers can set a student up for failure. High schools particularly have to really design curriculum for student success. And a lot of students had a lot of success in physics. That's not the only pathway to get your science, I guess, exam done for the state. But that is part of the reason,
oh,
I think.
That's interesting.
Huh. I am in the same boat. I did the biology, chemistry, physics, same boat.
I had an interesting conversation with Colin Wilson where he kind of argued that this path was better, like the understanding something about physics and then moving into chemistry. I guess it when you were talking about biology, and I never thought about it, and I'm not, you know, more of a social science, humanities type guy, but I hadn't really thought about the sequencing. I think in math, there's kind of a clear sequencing that we've been doing for 50 years, and I was just curious.
Yeah, I actually had an anatomy and physiology professor who he interviewed folks for the med school, and he would always ask, like, why do we require you to take physics and chemistry? I think that some amount of physics and chemistry, not necessarily like getting into the weeds of like, thermal dynamics and stuff like that,
right.
But I think can be really helpful. And sometimes you're trying to explain why things work and happen in biology. And until you really have that background, it's kind of like, well, just take my word for it.
There is a connection to math, right? So like you take physics as a ninth grader and it's not going to be calc based in any kind of way.
Right.
And this kind of gets back to what you've been talking about with the language of science is math. And I'm just curious to hear all three of you expand on that thinking.
Yeah, I think having some natural, background in math and the physical sciences can be really helpful.
Tiefen, what are your thoughts on math?
In terms of sequencing, I would say like math definitely go hand in hand with all other science topics. For instance, like if you want to know how, like for just an example that brings up is like thermodynamics, like you want to know how the flow would works, how they go, how they move, probably you definitely need some calculus because like you're talking about the rate, how fast it's changing. So that's the reason why definitely you need to know the theory about functions.
Yeah.
That's the object that abstractly capture what we mean by the flow of object, how you move, how fast it moves, it becomes a derivative. That's why it has to go with this the derivative, the whole calculus sequence. But then if I just talk about all those kind of abstract things, it's interesting itself because like the whole pure math world, that's all abstract things that works. But like it might be so abstract that you might not understand what I'm talking about and why we do that.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the reason why math should go along with science
right.
in some sense that you should know the why, no matter abstractly you know the why or like physically or explicitly, even not in physics world, like how the blood flow, all those kind of measurements. That would tell you a reason why we want to measure this in such a way and how exactly it go.
A lot of folks know this about me, but I have been trying to work at this college since I was a wee lad. And I graduated from college in the Great Recession, so I applied to everything I could find, including every job at BCC, even regardless of my ability to do them. But I did have a cover letter that said I was applying for a physics professor position. No background in physics at all. But I knew 9.8 meters per second was gravity, and I put that in my cover letter, and I got denied. But I was very proud of myself. So 42 applications later, true story, check my file, I finally got a job here. So physics didn't really help me at all, but I tried. So thank you.
If you're an aspiring employee at BCC, I would recommend not using Jonas Sykes as your model of how to get a job here.
It's exhausting.
We happen to have, we're members of an organization called Achieving the Dream, which works with community colleges across the country. We happen to have our two coaches on campus right now doing a visit, and they were talking about, one of them comes from the Midwest. Actually, they both do. She lives in Virginia now, but she was at Ivy Tech in Indiana. But I think both of them really were focused on producing students who went into manufacturing because that's what's big in the Midwest. I think life science work in Massachusetts is like a real growth industry for our students. So I think we'll take a quick break, and then when we get back, maybe you could just talk about like why we love working at BCC and how our students can kind of parlay their experiences here into careers.
This episode is sponsored by Matthew Kenny. Matthew Kenny, the Dean of Business and Science and Business. If you have a question, Matthew Kenny has the answer. We'll be right back. As mentioned throughout this podcast, don't forget about BCC STEM Week. In coordination with the Commonwealth, STEM starts now. STEM Week takes place October 20th to 24th, 2025. This year's STEM Week focuses on STEM Starts Now. At any age, you can learn about STEM, from our youngest learners to adult learners, and STEM education opportunities and jobs are here at this very moment in Massachusetts. BCC will be participating. And for more information about how we are celebrating all things STEM during the week of October 20th, please contact Matthew Kenny, Dean of Science and Business.
So the great thing about going on break mm-hmm. is that we have little conversations, and we're gonna switch what we're gonna talk about. Go back to STEM Week, and I'd love to hear about some of the cool things that are going on that you're doing individually, or maybe you know your colleagues are doing as well. Amanda, are you doing anything?
Yeah, so I am teaming up with Dylan, who is our kind of our lab guy who gets things organized. And we're going to do a couple demonstrations. One is just chemiluminescence with some luminol. So you might be familiar with the term luminol from some of those CSI TV shows. It does really glow, and so you can get a chance to see that. We're doing a stoplight demonstration, so you can kind of look at how reactions change and the colors associated based off of pH. I might undersell this, but we might like to see some pumpkins puking, because obviously Halloween is upon us shortly after STEM Week. And so a different take on the elephant toothpaste demonstration.
Okay. I had a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll see how well our pumpkins can handle the situation with some chemicals.
I have no idea what elephant toothpaste is, but I do have Google, so I'll figure that out on my own. You don't have to give this the exact time, but how are we going to know? I want to go to the pumpkin puking demonstration, so how do I find out when to get there?
So we're going to be set up in the connector on Wednesday sometime between 11:30 and 12:30.
And you guys are putting something down. Does Tammy Anderson know about this? And so you're going to put something like a tarp down or something for the pumpkin puking?
I have requested, and so
okay,
is
good.
Dylan.
Perfect.
Yeah. Good.
Just making
tarp.
Sure, Tammy, I got your back. So,
Lyndon, anything going on from your department?
Yeah, I think sort of along that same Halloween theme, we'll have a couple of disarticulated skeletons. So they're all apart, and we'll be having some folks race to put them back together.
Sounds great. So we're about to wrap up. I think it would be really great to just hear from each one of you. Like, why is it that you love working at BCC?
I would say it's about the students. They're all engaged. Even though they might have some difficulty in the first place about math, but they still enjoyed it. At some points, I can see, I can't convince them math is interesting at some point, but they're still eager to learn and then engage in the class, which is so great.
My past experience with students before coming to BCC was maybe a lack of direction. So these students that I am engaging with these days do have a direction, and they're excited about where they want to go. And I'm happy to be a part of their journey.
Yeah, I'd say I think it's really cool to work with students from like such diverse backgrounds. They come in with so many different experiences that are really cool to incorporate into the class. And I would also say in addition to just like the regular education stuff, I love the fact that most of our graduates go right back into the workforce right here in Berkshire County.
That's great. Jonah, how about you?
What do I love working at BCC?
Yeah.
You want me to start from the beginning? I was 13 years old.
One thing.
One thing. It's the people I work with who make me want to come to work every day. And the students, obviously. Sorry.
It was really great, actually. The president that I worked for before I came to BCC was an IO, industrial organizational psychologist, and he used to say in speeches that when you did research, a really good organization, you'd walk around and you'd talk to people and you'd say, what's the mission of an institution? And maybe half the people at a good institution would know what the mission is. And at a great institution, you basically get 95% or higher. I think the three of you and Jonah as well have illustrated what makes BCC so great for me. It's the people we work with, but the fact that they always ground students in the center of the things that they do. When they talk about their joy, they're talking about their students. When they're thinking about how do I make this a better place, the student is at the focus of that. And I think that's what makes it a great organization, is just how mission-centric our colleagues are. And that's Tammy Anderson's crew. Mm-hmm. That's our faculty. Yep. And that's everyone else that works here as well. So really great having you all on. Again, STEM Week is the week of October 20th.
There's a commercial about it coming up shortly.
There will be
this.
A commercial about it shortly. Thank you so much for being guests on our most recent episode of this podcast. Could have been an email. And our dear listeners, we will be back shortly.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Could have been an email from Berkshire Community College. Special thanks to Adam Klepetar, my co-host, and to Amanda Meyer, Lyndon Crane, and T-Fun for putting e-emphasis in STEM. See what I did there? Special thanks to Alzi Mercado and to Dave Cachet at PCTV. Finally, I'd like to thank you, dear listener, for continuing to listen to our show, even though none of you asked me on October 3rd what day it was. My name is Jonah Sykes, and thank you for listening to this podcast, Could Have Been an Email, from Berkshire Community College.